I love about the story is the very end. He didn't stay dead. He comes alive. And while his death did so much for us, it paid the cost, the debt that we could not pay. It freed us from our sin. His resurrection benefits us as well. When Mary went to the tomb, as we saw there, and she sees Jesus, just before that, an angel appeared and said, "He is risen." In Matthew 28, we read the story. "He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he lay." It was empty. He wasn't there. He was alive. And I'm reminded by this story, when I watched this, those are my sins. In Isaiah 53, when he says, "By his stripes we were healed and set free," it was my sins that caused those stripes. It was my voice that cried out, "Crucify him." He gave me grace and mercy, and he gave me the benefit of the resurrection. In exchange of my hatred, he gave me love. In exchange for my disobedience, he was obedient to his Father and empowered him to rise on the third day and has resurrection. And today we want to talk about that resurrection. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. We need to have an understanding, and this is one of the passages that I believe gives us a very complete, clear vision of what resurrection is all about. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 40. He's talking about here, Paul is writing a letter to the church of Corinth, and he's writing about the new bodies that we receive in the new heaven and the new resurrection. He says in verse 40, "There are heavenly bodies and there are earthly bodies, but the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, the stars another. And the stars differ from star in splendor. So it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown imperishable, it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor and raised in glory. It is sown in the natural body and raised in a spiritual one." He's been asked a question. He's answering it here to this church. They're saying, how could it be that we will be resurrected? How is it that we will have new bodies? And Paul, in his beauty, is explaining, look, there's things that are of earth and there's things of heaven. There are things that are physical. There are things of spiritual. He's giving the analogy of planting a seed. We don't expect other seeds to come out. We expect the plant to come out. A new thing appears. And he's speaking here of our earthly bodies being planted like a seed and resurrected into new life. He continues on, verse 50. "I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not sleep, but we will be all changed in a flash, in a twinkling of the eye, the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with the immortality. For when the perishable has been clothed with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true." And we sang this earlier today in a couple of our songs. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O grave, is your sting? Sting of death, sin. And the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that you labor in the Lord. It is not in vain. We cannot imagine what our new bodies may be like. Now, we may have some ideas. I don't know if we get to put a request in. Do you have something in your mind? Maybe you want to be taller. Maybe you want to be shorter, a little thinner, a little curvier, guys a little beefed up a little bit. What do you want to do? Do you want to jump high? Do you want to run fast? Do you want a slam dunk from the half court? I don't know if we're going to do all those things, but I know is that we can't imagine it. It's not anything we've experienced before. So here's the thing. Whatever that great thing that we can imagine, the most awesome thing that we can imagine, that we're all force users. Okay, like, nobody got that one. We don't know. But whatever it may be, it is going to be probably nowhere near as amazing and awesome as it is going to be. Because it will be perfect. And it will be new. And it will be something we've never experienced. It'll be spiritual. We're not talking about a physical world. We're talking about a spiritual one. This resurrection will happen one day. And we have this because his resurrection gives us certain hopes. It gives us certain benefits. The very first thing that we see is the resurrection of Jesus gives us hope in eternal life. It gives us hope that we will have eternal life. The end of that video ended with John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he sent his only son, that we may not perish. Meaning we be coming unto destruction, that we will come to an end. Instead, that we may have life eternal. Jesus spoke about this in John chapter 11 when he was speaking to Lazarus' sister. Lazarus had died and his family were sad. And Jesus shows up. He says, don't worry. They will be resurrected. And he said, I know. In the last day, they knew the Old Testament references. That one day death would be swallowed up, that there would be new life. But Jesus says, no, I am the resurrection and the life. All who believe in me will live even though they die. And to demonstrate his power, he calls out, Lazarus! And the man who had been in the grave for 4 days comes walking out. Jesus is the resurrection. He is the first fruit. And Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, do not grieve like the rest of mankind. For those of us who are in Christ, for those who are in Christ, when we go to sleep, when we die, it is not permanent. And while we separate from them, and it is sorrow, and it is grief, it should not be like those who have no hope, it says. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so we believe that God will bring with Jesus all who fellowship with him. That's us who believe in Jesus Christ, who have entrusted our spiritual life to him. We have hope in eternal life because of his resurrection. But it's one thing for somebody to tell you something, right? But then it's something for somebody to do it. And Jesus had been telling his disciples, I am going to die and come back. And we found in his disciples that by about the third day, they were getting a little discouraged. But he comes back. Now, if it was me, I would probably be with them hiding somewhere, going, man, they are going to come get me next. But God bless Mary and these women. Now, it doesn't say it like this, but I kind of imagine Mary and them having a little attitude. Because you know that the men folk were like, you better not go out there. Now, husbands, when we tell our wives, they shouldn't do something. And Mary and them are like, I'm going. And you can't stop me. And I can see Mary and who are the other ladies, and they got their stuff, and it kind of a little over the shoulder, we're walking out. And they go to the grave. And the grave was marked because the Roman guards were there. They had been put in place so that no one could steal him. Because they had heard the story too. But Mary and them show up, and the guards are gone. The stones rolled away. There's this angel sitting there. Like, why do you look for the dead among the living? He's not here. He is risen. Go, look at where he lay. They looked in, and they went back. Now, I don't know about you, but that to me is just amazing. Because this understanding the culture of the day, women were second class at best. They weren't allowed to give testimony in court. A word of a slave was almost as good as a word of a woman. And if it was a male slave, it had more character. And this is who Jesus reveals himself to. This is the emissaries that he sends out. So if you've heard that, oh, they didn't know which grave they went to, oh, they knew. Oh, somebody just kind of took him away. No. You wouldn't go into death and face what they faced after this, knowing that you may have just been completely lying. And I know that it's not a lie because Peter and the rest of the disciples are back hiding in a room. It's not until the ladies come back and they go, hey, you remember that thing that Jesus said he was going to do? Yeah, well, he did it. Peter and them take off. And now Peter writes later in his own epistle, he says, I have seen it with my own eyes. I'm not telling you a story. There are other witnesses who will show you and tell you they saw him. We have hope. The next thing that we see is the resurrection of Jesus gives us victory over death and fear. Over death and fear. I love this passage in Corinthians. Death, you've been swallowed up in victory. Just swallowed up. Where is your victory? Where is your sting? What is the worst thing you could do? Kill someone, right? Hurt them by killing them or killing a loved one. Jesus overcomes that. He says, death, that's the worst. Sin, that's the worst you can do? Satan's greatest threat and power over us was the threat of death. And Jesus last minute, kind of gets, luckily we snuck by that victory. It says he swallowed it up. Swallowed it up. It was obliterated. It's destroyed. It's got nothing. He gives us victory. Isaiah 25:8 and Revelation 21:4 both says this, that there will be one day no more tears, no more sadness, no more death, no more crying, no more pain. Boy, wouldn't that day be awesome? One day that will happen, and this is a promise of it. Now, that is only offered to those who turn themselves over to Christ. I know many of you in this room have been dealing with some pain, some illness, some loss of loved ones, some crying, anguish over children who've gone someplace you just never thought they would go, brokenheartedness. God said one day, here's the hope. All of that will be wiped away. You will have victory over death. Revelation 1:18, Jesus Christ appears and says, I am the living one. I was dead, and now I'm alive forever and ever. Now you look up the original language, guess what that means? Forever. Like waiting in the hospital for your doctor forever. Waiting at the BMV forever. Third grade musical recital forever. And then some. Means forever. I am alive. And that's what I love. When Charlie said earlier, he's alive today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day. He's risen forever. And then he goes on to say this, I hold the keys of death and Hades, of death and the grave. I have the keys. You know what that symbolizes? Who's in charge? The one who has the keys, right? He's saying, I decide. I decide who goes in and stays and who comes out. I decide. Death, the grave, has no power. We read in Ephesians chapter 4, it says that he went into the grave, he went into Sheol, down to those, and he rescued those who had believed in him before he ever came. And he says that he came out and he has a train of victory behind him. In the ancient days, when a king would go and conquer another land and he would bring back the spoils, he would announce himself and he would walk down the main street of the city, and behind him would be a train of victory. It would have all the spoils, all of the people that they had conquered. And if it was the other king still alive, that other king would be there and he would be in shackles. And guess who had the king, who had the keys to those shackles? The conquering king. Jesus is saying that here. I am the one who won. I have the keys. I'm in charge. He gave us victory over death, which means that he gave us victory over fear. Romans 8, chapter 8, verses 1 and 2 says that there are now no condemnation for those in Christ. None. Who gives life. Speaking of Christ, he gives life and sets you free from sin and death. We are set free. This is the hope of the resurrection. I have no fear over death now. Even though I may die, even though you may put me in the ground. Paul writes in another letter, he says, this is just a tent. It's just a simple temporary thing. This isn't permanent. One day we'll get our permanent home. This flesh and blood is not us. Take my arm. Am I my arm? Jesus said it like this. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck your eye out. If your hand causes you to sin, lose your hand. It doesn't matter. Better to get into heaven. Because when you get to heaven, guess what you get? New and improved. Maybe in heaven we get that finger that finally reaches that scratch in the middle of your back. I think of these things, I'm sorry. Maybe we don't get the scratch. It's that good. I just, victory over the worst thing you can imagine. If we had no condemnation, we have nothing to fear. Even though Satan still tries to be our accuser, Jesus has already paid it. God sees us through the lens of his son, and he sees our perfection, not our perfection, but his perfection, and sees it in us. He said, there's now no condemnation in you. You are free from fear. The thing you did yesterday, the thing you did 5 years ago, that person that you hurt when you were younger, there can be forgiveness for that. And Satan cannot hold that over you anymore. You are free from it. Well, Satan will try to bring it up. But all you have to do is show him the balance sheet. It's paid, done, erased. I have hope because we have victory over death and fear. The final thing out of this in verse 58, it said to stand firm. Let nothing move you. We have resurrection of Jesus Christ gives us perseverance in this life. It gives us perseverance. We have hope. Boy, it's great, isn't it? And even if we truly believe it, that one day, right? One day. Sometimes that one day can be a disheartening phrase, isn't it? Well, one day this will happen. We have a lot of one days in our life, don't we? When we're younger, oh, one day I'll be grown up. I can stay up as late as I want. And then when you finally get old enough to do that, you're so tired, you go to bed early. One day, I'll be able to drive and go anywhere I want. As soon as I get a job and pay for the car and buy gas. Then I have to just go to work. That's not that fun. One day, I'll get married, I'll have kids, I'll get a job, I'll have a career, I'll be happy. One day, one day, one day. We always have these one days out there. And sometimes we feel like that one day is never going to come. I want to encourage you right now to say that this one day, this resurrection day, Jesus knows it can be really, really struggle to go on day after day. So he says this right here. He says, persevere, stand firm, Paul writes. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself full to the work of the Lord. I mean, you're all in. Paul expanded this idea in 2 Corinthians 4 when he says this, therefore, do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, speaking of our physical bodies, as we get older, we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. When I read this, I think of some of the saints that we have here at New Hope. I think of my own grandmother at 90 years old, and I'd go to her apartment, and I'd knock on the sliding glass doors. That's how we came in. And I could see through the sliding glass doors that she'd be sitting in her recliner and her Bible's open. Her little head was down, and I know she wasn't praying. And she had bifocals, but she had this giant magnifying glass that had a light built in so she could read her large print. And even though she had been walking with the Lord for decades, and had probably read through the Bible I don't know how many times and heard countless sermons, it wasn't uncommon for me to, when I'd walk in and she'd wake up and she'd say, baby. She loved me. She'd say, baby, look at this. Look at this. And she would encourage me with scripture. Because she had been encouraged. When Paul says, do not lose heart, because our bodies may be fading, our inward being is just maturing. You know, that seed that's planted, it goes through phases, doesn't it? I know we got some in here that are really young, like single digit age. We got some who are approaching triple digits. But the outward appearance doesn't matter. It's what's inside. I know a young lady in here right now who's in her 90s. Boy, she is filled inside of her heart with God. And I have shared with her, and she has shared with me the beauty. There is a special, unique beauty about her wisdom and maturity in Christ. Do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that outweighs them all. Our current temporary troubles are nothing compared to the glory that God is giving us. Verse 18, Paul writes this, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal." Well, it is so easy to get caught up in the moment of the temporary, isn't it? I was reminded of this yesterday. This is such a light and silly thing, but in the moment, it seems so large. I walked through the kitchen and there was some water on the floor. And I asked, I said, "Did somebody spill something?" And he's like, "No, I cleaned something up earlier. There was some water on the floor." And then you had that moment. And I opened up the refrigerator and I opened up the freezer. It had gone out. And the ice was, that was the water, was the ice, and the things were frozen was melting and coming out the bottom. And we sang glory to God and hallelujah. How light our troubles are here on this earth. Because we're a pastor's home, that's what we do. I would be lying if I told you that. Instead, I went into this mode and I immediately, for some reason, grabbed the ice that was left and I threw it out. Amy goes, "We were getting ready to sit down and have lunch. Like, now we don't have ice." I was like, well, in the moment, it seemed like the thing to do. I don't know why. Boy, it was temporary. It is silly. But in that moment, it seemed like nothing existed except that refrigerator. And all my ice cream that was melting. That seems silly, doesn't it? But when you put the things of the world, even some of the most serious things, even the things that are really just gut-wrenching, heartbreaking, in light of eternity, it's like ice cream melting in your refrigerator. Nothing. That's what Paul's writing. That's what the resurrection gives us hope for. We only have that hope if we are in Christ. And I've used that term a few times today, and for many of us in this room, we know what that means, but for those who don't, let me tell you what that means. Jesus Christ, when he was here on this earth, he told his disciples, "No one comes to the Father, no one goes to heaven, no one goes to see God unless they come through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through me. You have to believe in me." So I ask you the question today. Do you believe in him? The video we watched earlier was not some just man-made story. It's what happened. And why it happened was because of you and I in rebellion against God sinned. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And because of that, someone has to pay the price. And the penalty of sin is death. And it's because God loves us so much, he sent his son in replacement of our paying that debt. And our sins were put on his back. Our sins pierced his hands and his feet. And he says, if you just will believe in that and confess it with your mouth, you will be saved. When you come to the end of you, when you come to the end of you doing what needs to be done to get to heaven, When you finally get to the point where you're like, I can't do it, God. It's too high. It's too hard. He says, good. Because I've already done it. Just accept my son's grace and love and mercy. And when we do that, he says, welcome. I adopt you in. I now see you in my son, Christ. So I ask you, have you ever given your life to Christ? Are you in him? Because if you are not, all of this that I spoke about today, this hope of eternal life, this hope of victory, this hope of perseverance does not apply. And it's not my rules, it's not my word, it's his word. Because he is a just God, and he says someone has to pay. Why not accept Christ's free gift of grace and free gift of salvation? I'm going to ask everyone to bow your heads. If you've never prayed a prayer like that, I invite you right now to pray a prayer like this. Heavenly Father, I admit that I sinned. I admit there is no way for me to pay back that debt. No amount of good works, no amount of good deeds will ever pay it. But I believe your son died on a cross, was buried, and on the third day rose so that I didn't have to. And right now, I freely accept that. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Charlie, I'm going to invite the band to come back up and lead us out in a chorus. Guys, if you don't have a church home, we would love for you to come back next week. But if you're just visiting with family and stuff, I encourage you to go back every week, as often as possible, to be with the body of Christ. Because we all share in this, and we help each other to stand firm when we feel like we can't. This week, remind ourselves every day, Christ is risen. He is risen.